Thank you, Miss Zoom. There, you probably have all seen on the news that there was this whole strike situation going on in New York, where there were one of the largest hospitals. It was Montefiore and Mount Sinai. The nurses went on strike, so that prompted me to kind of get into go into the subject of are nurses allowed to go on strike? Obviously, in general, anyone go on strike is a question, but certainly nurses, doctors, people in the medical field, where the consequences for the strike are obviously heightened and much more extreme. Even if, as the case may be here, where they bring in temporary nurses, but a temporary nurse doesn't necessarily know where everything is in the hospital. They don't know protocol. No one wants to have that temporary nurse being their nurse, because it's just, you people like having the doctor they're familiar with, etc. And therefore, I started looking into this, but at the root of it is a different sugya. So if we have time, we'll get back to the nurses sugya, which is how I got to this. But the root of it really comes down to the sugya of a poel and what exactly is the rights of a poel. So that's what I want to discuss today. Again, when I asked on the chat what people wanted to hear, alam this halacha, machshava gemara, no one got back to me, so I figured I would do a little halacha, a little lamdas, and I'll leave the chassidus for Yaakov. Great. Okay, fine. So it's great because we all learned this together. Well, some of us learned this together in Shana Gimel. Some of us didn't stay Shana Gimel. What can I say? Some of us didn't stay Shana Beis. What can I say? All right.
Rude.
No, no. The halacha and Gemara and Bamitzvah already discusses there's a distinction between a poel and a kabbalah. Right? A poel is someone who is your day laborer. You hire them by the day, whereas a kabbalah, you hire them to be a contractor, and therefore they are there for to do a job, to do a project. And there are many nachdimnus between the two. First of all, just in general, practically, a kabbalah works at their own works at their on their own pace. You can hire, generally speaking, you hire a kabbalah, and they usually tell you, "I'll build your house for you in 6, 9, 10 months." Even if it take longer than that, they're usually giving you the time frame. Whereas the poel, you basically say to them, "Come to me tomorrow at 6 a.m. Leave at 6 p.m." And what's the definition of the job? What's the job description? Really, do whatever I want you to do. So if it's harvesting my field, that's what you'll do. If halfway through the day I want you to go and paint my house, that's what you do. You're a day laborer. So this is, again, the kabbalah and the poel. The Gemara tells us already about Metziah on Daf Yudam Aleph that poel yocher lachzer bo, that a poel is allowed to renege, retract. So this is, I think, the root of the difference between a poel and kabbalah. But really, this is going to take us to what exactly a poel is. What do we mean by the fact that a poel yocher lachzer bo? So if a poel, let's say, is working for you, you hire him at six, come to you, let's just stay your day for $1,000 to work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and he's working there, first six hours of the day. And then it comes 12 o'clock, he can get up and say, "Adios, I'm out of here. Ah, he gave you his word. Ah, he promised to work all day. Poel yocher lachzer bo." But more than that, the Gemara also says, "V'yadav al yona." He has the upper hand. What do we mean by he has the upper hand? So the simplest understanding of this is that even if by him walking away, by him reneging, it's going to incur a loss on behalf of the Baal HaBayis. Meaning to say, because the basic analogy would be, if to hire someone for a full day is $1,000, but to hire someone for half a day is $600, so now the poel is, by him walking away at 12 o'clock, I don't know, he ate his bagel and now he's tired, he wants to go. So he's now going to cause you to have to go find a half day work, which is going to be $600. Now you're going to be out $100 because, again, you only budgeted for 1,000, not 1,100. You can't say to the poel, "I'm only going to pay you 400. Yodavel, Yoni, you must pay him the 500 and he can go on his merry way and say to you, you eat the loss." Yadav, that's the simplest way. And it gets more complicated, and there are more permutations of this, which we will hopefully see going forward. Why is this true? Why is the poel yachalach bo? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk for this, Ksiv, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim to me, but not avadim la'avadim. The pasuk the Gemara quotes is that God says to the Jewish people, "You are slaves to me, but not slaves to slaves." And that's where we are. We're at, and this is not just a nice, as I said before, I gave part of this over before to the show. I say, this is not just a nice drush. I'm going to give over parsha and shvat then, but this is a real halachic concept that a poel can renege, walk away halfway through the day, but yadav al yona, that even if it incurs a loss, which again, we'll see how far we won't take that. So I'm going to ask now any questions on that before I proceed? All right, good. Basic Gemara. Three questions on this. Number one is this a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, as in this concept of Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, that seemingly you can't that a poel yachal lachzer bo because you're not a slave to someone else. You can't put yourself into some sort of indentured servitude. Number two is going to be, what is the nature of the relationship between a poel and an eved? That there is going to be an overlap. Again, a poel and an eved are both doing work for, an eved ivri, obviously, both doing work for you, but seemingly the eved ivri is stuck, the poel is not stuck. Is this always true? What is the nature in the relationship? And then lastly, you know, we have to have a chakira, even though we're not going to spend much time on this. And then as yesh lachkar, we have to ask that this, that a poel is not allowed to, not allowed to make himself stuck in a situation, that he's able to renege. And as we'll see, this even plays out in terms of how long a poel is allowed to work, how long the contract can be. Is this a din in the fact that it says a chus of the poel, that he has the right never to enter into a contract that binds him for more than a duration of time? Or no, that this is actually an isser, if you will, that the poel is not allowed to stick himself in a situation that resembles some sort of avdus, that he's making himself meshubah to someone else. So those are the three things I want to address over the next few minutes. Yes, no, good. Questions, comments, observations? Excellent. Okay, fine. Comes along Tosfos right there on the page. Tosfos says as follows. Kilib Yisrael Avadim, nearly. Mutter Adam is enough. You don't know, you have a Gemara in front of you. Mutter Adam Lahaskir Atzmo, that don't think that the when the Pasuk tells us that a person's not allowed to be Meshavit himself as an Eved Ivri, because you're only an Eved to God, don't think you can't then rent yourself out, i.e., put yourself in some sort of long term contract. It's only an Eved Ivri who can't retract, who's actually Meshubut. The Eino Yotza Kodim Zmanu can't leave before his time is up. El B'Shach Shifr, unless you give him the Shach Shifr. O Mishum Avadehem. It's only he who's over because of an Eved Ivri, but everyone else is allowed. The way the Bir Chas Avram put it is, Tosfos' issue with Kilib Avadim is, you're making yourself Meshubut. It's only someone who's actually making himself Meshubut, but if, so long as you have the ability to recant, to renege, to walk away, so then you can. This is in contrast to the Mordechai is found in Perikul Umnim, who says as follows. The Mordechai says, again, basically Tosfos' question that if it's you can't become an Eved Ivri, it's also become an Eved Ivri, so then you can't also lahaskir atzmoi. And Tosfos basically says no, because you're a poel. However, then he says the nearly the high time a yesh lizahir melamed olasoifer olishar melachos, for this reason that there's this concept floating around. Again, we haven't figured out the Raisa, the Rabbanon, what exactly it is, of Kiliyah Eved, you're only an Eved to God, someone who's a Malamed, a Sofer, or Shamalachus, Bilahaskir Atzmo, Lios Bias, Balabias, Lios Bekeva, Imo, Lios Somuch, Al Shachon, Abuli Havzik, Yosim, 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 to enter into a long-term contract, which he says is 3 years, where you're sitting in the Balabias' house, eating off his table, there's seemingly a problem here, because the Folks Fame, Yosim, Yosim, Nafka, Lemitar, is Sachir. Because less than 3 years, you can say you're still a Sachir. However, he says, that seemingly once you're in a house for more than 3 years, there's some sort of metamorphosis or transition that you are now becoming some sort of Eved. Thus, the Mordechai, and there I'm always going to quote this in Shulchan Aruch and Shimon Lam in Shin Lam Gimel in Chol Shemishba, that there is some sort of prohibition, according to the Mordechai, to enter into a contract that's more than 3 years, because you're now in violation of making yourself into an Eved. Whereas Tosfos says, no, what are you talking about? You can make yourself an Eved. You can put yourself into servant into the Haskir's Atzmo. That's called being a poel. That's what a poel is. The only issue is being meshubah to someone else. And how are you meshubah to someone else? When you enter into a situation when you can't recant, you can't retract, unless there's a Shah Shichur or however else an Eved becomes free. So number one is, like, the implication from this Tosfos is there's an issue to become an Eved Ivri, which threw me through a loop. Like Mehecha Tesi, that's a parish in the Torah. So I start looking into this already. So if you look in the Lashon of the Rambam says that the Torah is, actually, bring the Rambam here. That's what Rastav would want, right? You pull the Rambam out. So if you look in the Lashon of the Rambam says, how is it, obviously, Bezdin can sell someone, fine. But what about, how can Yisrael sell himself? Yisrael should only be Yoser, Nostalot Torah Rishus. The Torah gives permission. Limkar's Asma. And then the Rambam proceeds to go on to talk about what's considered how poor you have to be, how destitute you have to be, what you're allowed to have in your possession, how are you allowed to hide things, etc., etc. The Kesta Mishnah basically points out that in the event there is a need, so then you can sell yourself. So that's the position of the Rambam. There are others who seem to imply that even then it may still be an Isser, but the Torah, I spoke to Rabbi Reis about this, Rabbi Reis wanted to almost say either the prohibition is once you become an Eved Nirtza, meaning you stay past the 6 years, which is the context of the Gemara there, which you know, Oz and Shema, that you can't be an Eved, that's the context of the Gemara. Or
That's
it
not
could
an
be
Eved
that,
Dibri.
what do you say?
That's not an Eved Dibri.
What?
The Eved note says not an Eved Dibri.
I mean, he's in this new, it's a new, it's a new, what do
Yeah.
you mean by that?
He's not an Eved Dibri.
What is he
He's an
then?
Eved Kinani. He wants to stay on.
What do you mean?
When he bore his ear.
That's an evidivri after set at the end of the year, at years.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying something more lumdus that like he now he's a different type. Okay, fine. Well, fine. Or maybe Taka, you can say there is an Isser. There is an Isser involved. It's just that the Torah Nusslam is just to become an Eved because the Torah recognizes that sometimes there's a need for it. It happens to be that I came across a Torah Eved in Chagiga. Torah Eved in Chagiga is talking about this, what that beginning Sugya there in Beis on Aleph, Beis on Beis, that Sugya there is as follows. Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, which by the way, I always said if the Sugya of Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin didn't exist, the Minchas Chinuch would be like a half a book. Okay, whatever. So the sugi there is that he can't serve a master one day, serve himself one day, and then the Gemara goes out to say that oh he can't get married, so that's why you have to free him. So Tosfos immediately jumps up and down. He's like, why can't he get married? I have a brilliant idea. Sell himself as an Eved Ivri, and then he can marry a Shivcha. So Tosfos goes, no, it doesn't work because he thinks a Ger can't be an Eved Ivri. Says the Tori Evan, I don't even understand the question of Tosfos. To sell yourself as an Eved Ivri, you're being over a lav of making yourself an Eved. As I zokt, Tori Eved. So he says as follows, the Gemara in Kedushin, rather famous Gemara, the Gemara in Kedushin tells us, how do you metahir a mamzer? So the Gemara tells us, you want to metahir a mamzer, wants to basically let his children become part of Klal Yisrael. What he can do is sell himself as an Eved Ivri, then he can marry a Shivcha, then their children, they can convert. Allegedly, I haven't confirmed this, but apparently this was done a couple of years ago by Rabbi Tendler. And he decided because of Dina Machus Adina, which is part of the Din there, you can't become an Eved, you can't do this in America. So he went to one of the embassies of one of the African countries that still allows Avdus and did it there. Can't confirm that, but this is what I was told, I believe, by Rabbi Schwartz. Okay. So says the Tori Evan, and this is his creativity. What do we see from here? That when there's a need, you can become an Eved Ivri. And what greater need is there than to retire your children, retire your Zara? Says it's the same principle that's going to apply here as well. Then in order to, and again, he starts dining about Puruvu versus Lesheves, but in order for this Eved or this Kanani to have children, Lesheves, let's put it at that, that's enough of a reason that you're allowed to sell yourself as an Eved Ivri, and wouldn't be in violation of the Issa. So that's what he says. So to answer a Tosfos here, Tosfos seems to imply there is some sort of Issa. When is the Issa applied? Tosfos can either be always, it's just that Torah gives us some sort of dispensation, or no, assuming that Eben Yirtso, or at the end, or when there is no need. But be it as it may, what we're left with is that there's a concept you can't enter into this sort of indentured servitude becoming an Eved Ivri. And the question is that, so the Mordechai also thought a Poel at some point, or maybe always, can transform into and become metamorphosized, if you will, into becoming an Eved Ivri, which would then be an Isser, which is why the Mordechai was hesitant when said one should not become into a long-term contract. The other question, well, the first question I asked is, so this din, is it Daraisa or is it Darabana of Kiliavid, be an Eved to Hashem and not an Eved to others? And how far then does it extend? So certainly, seemingly, there's an Isser to become an Eved, even Ivri, that we're okay with in terms of becoming an Eved Ivri. But are we going to then say it extends even to becoming a Poel that locks yourself in? Or are we not going to say so? Right? Meaning, Lu Yitzura, I think Moni HaMitzvahs don't count becoming an Eved Ivri as an Isser. But if you can get out of it, Nussi Gestetner has a piece on this, why that may be. And I'll quote it in a minute. Okay, fine. But the question is, the extension, I guess, of that Tosfos is trying to make and Mordechai is trying to make to lock yourself into a contract, or the ability to walk out, let's put it that way, the ability to walk out of a contract and say, or to renege, a Paul to renege, because he says, I'm not an Eved to you, I'm only an Eved to Hashem, is this a zechus or a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbana? So no, I didn't see many people talk about this. This is some of my own thinking, so you can feel free to disagree. There's a Ritva, everyone quotes Ritva because there's a lot to talk about. The Ritva says that if the Poel makes a Kinyan, he can't walk away. He's not allowed to walk away. Why? Why not? So the Shach already jumps up and down. Is like, what do you mean? Pasuk says ki li'evet, meaning to say the shachrit didn't say it's daraisa. So what about the Ritva? So it seems to be the shachrit definitely thinks it's daraisa, but what about the Ritva? Why would the Ritva think the Ritva? What, how do you explain the Ritva? The Ritva says that once you make a kinyan, then we throw this whole gemara out the window, and you actually are locked in. You can't walk away. You know, this whole yadav elyona thing doesn't apply. So here's a couple understandings for the Ritva. The Kesos there in Shin Lamed Gimel quotes a Chuvas Chavas Yar. It's an awesome Chuva. The Chavas Yar was asked the following question, which is actually very relevant to our opening question about going on strike. There was a chazan in a shul. He shows up one year. He davens beautifully on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So they say to him, we want to keep you around. So he takes a 10-year contract with a shvua. He'll stay all 10 years. All right, 3-4 years down the line, he realizes, or he gets a job offer from the town next door, more money. He's like, okay, I'm going to go over there. So the president of the shul, whoever it is, says, you can't go over there. You already took a shvua. You're going to stay here. Which, what does he say? Mushmim Yom Mehar Sinai, that of Kili Eved. Beautiful. And therefore he says, I'm not bound by the Shvua, I can walk away. Amazing. So the Chavis Yar is not convinced. Number one, he says, is you have Taisvis, right? Mechitation, the Ramah is correct. It's funny, actually, most of the posts think the Ramah is not correct, and the Ramah even himself seems to have this bit of a steer in the Ramah. But also, then he says that you're doing Melech HaShemayim. You're not doing Meleches Adam. You're serving the congregation. You're helping uplift their tefillos. That's, you're working for God. So you are an Eved for Hashem. You're not an Eved for them. And, okay, fine. Elisha Deitch is coming. Okay, great. The Ketzos, however, says, no, he totally disagrees. Totally, he's like, really upset about this idea of you're working for Hashem. He said, then you're working for the shul. However, he says that you can't claim Mushpam Yom Mer Sinai because this is all Dinder Rabbanon. He says, the Adam also ask God to go to Shalosh, Eno Elamid Rabbanon. If you want to go Mushpam Yom Mer Sinai, and that's his own discussion, which we're not going to get into for now. So you can claim maybe the Ritva saying that. This whole din is a din de Rabban, like the Ketzos seems to think. And therefore, that's the reason why Ritva says if you make a kinyan, so then you're stuck there. The Machin Ephraim says, no. The Machin Ephraim says that the kinyan you're making is not that I'm making a kinyan haguf, now I'm stuck to you. You're basically saying, I'm making a kinyan that the job is going to get done. Almost like you're making yourself into a socha. A kabla. That the job's going to get done. And what you're saying is, your field will get harvested. So whether it's by me or I'm going to go and subcontract with someone else to get it done, you're basically saying I'm making a kinyan and the job is going to get done. That doesn't fall under the rubric of Kiliyav. And that's just saying I'm going to get it done. It's not a kinyan hakuf. It's not saying I'm going to do it. Someone else is going to do it. And therefore, the Machan Ephraim says that's the understanding for the Ritva, and that's what the kinyan is. Again, it's not a kinyan on myself. It's a kinyan I'm going to do the job. By the way, just I meant to mention this before. This also can help us understand why a socher. Actually, why a kablan is not under this rubric of Kiliyev. B'nai Shua points this out because he's working on his own time. I mean, he says I come for 6 months. That means he can do it, work 24 hours a day for 1 week and get it all done. We can work over the course of 6 months, or he can be an Israeli contractor and get it done in 12 years, as I'm sure Yaakov knows. He's working on his own time, which is why I saw one of the posts can bring up. I don't remember who. I saw a lot of things while I was looking for this. I don't necessarily remember who I saw and where. If you ask me, I can look up after. One of the posts said, if you give a kablan like a very a very short amount of time for a lot of work, so that could actually be a problem of Kiliyev. Okay, fine. So again, we're trying to understand, is this deraisa or the Rabbanon? Ritva, you can either say it's the Rabbanon, like those things. Machan Ephraim thinks it's deraisa, and the Ritva is just talking about a different din. Rav Nosson Gestetner, the Lahara's Nosson, I have to quote because my Rebbe, Rodino Feldman, loves Nosson Gestetner. Anyone here familiar with his shuvas? He's awesome. He's really awesome. He was a Rosh Hashiva and a Dayan, I believe, in B'nai Brak. I think he was Nifter in like 2015, 2014. He wrote a tremendous amount. He's brilliant, like brilliant stuff, very interesting stuff. Unfortunately, his Shuvas aren't organized well, so they're hard to find. Actually, I said to Rav Feldman, I said, by the way, Rav Schechter in Divrei Sofrim quotes Rav Nosson Gestetner. He got all excited. He's like, where? I said, in the footnotes. Rav Feldman's like, yeah, I always want to put the footnotes in there. Okay, so Rav Nosson Gestetner was asked the following question in Choshen Mishpat Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Yud Ches. He was asked, "Is it an issur to become an Eved Ivri?" Our question, and within the context of this tshuva, he writes, "Let me explain to you what's going on with the Ritva. I'm going to read it to you." He says, "This concept of the lo avodim la avodim inu begeder issur. This concept of an Eved la avodim is not an issur." It's the prerogative, it's the zechus, it's the right of a worker that he can recant, he can retract, he can walk away halfway through the day. So he seems to understand that it's not a iser, but the Torah tells us we're not eved. And that's our zechus, that we have the right, therefore, to be a poel. It's the Torah saying you're a poel, and therefore you can walk away in the middle of the day, even though it's going to incur a loss, and it's going to be yad v'al yon. That's what the Torah is giving us. But if you say, I want to waive that right, I want to take a kenyan, I let the ritva, I want to waive the right, and I want to make myself meshubah to you, chopper dummy. So you're just waiving the right the Torah gave you. Again, it's your prerogative. You could do what you want, but just know the standard is, the Torah says, this is the Radosan Gestetner, which is like also an interesting way of understanding this whole sugya. That it's more, the Torah gives us a zechus, we're not an eved, and we have the right to waive that zechus, which kind of also puts in this like liminal space, not the Raisa, not the Rabbanon, but like, what are we doing then? Okay. Fine. So that's what we have so far. So quick chazara, welcome Alicia. Quick chazara is, we wanted to know, is this a din d'Rabbanon, a din d'Araisa? We saw that I don't remember who we saw at this point. We saw Tosfos seems to think becoming an Eved Ivri is a din d'Araisa. So we want to know, what does he mean? It's a parish and prayer. So we said, if you're destitute, maybe there's a dispensation to do it. Either the Rambam seems to think it's just a dispensation. The Kesef Mishnah quotes, I think, from the Tanchum, I believe. We saw that the Tori Evan says it gave us even other examples of when one's allowed to do it in order to tire in Mamzerim, in order perhaps to Hanoch, the having the Tosfos was in order to marry it, to have the Sheves. We saw the Ritvo. And the way that I want to tell Shua to the Kutsais, that maybe it was Durabanon, or at least the permutation of it becoming into the world of Poel was a Durabanon. And then we saw the Mach and Ephraim, who says, no, it could be Duraisa, it's just that you're accepting upon yourself the Kenyan in the way in which the Ramas Gestetner says it's more of it's a Zechus of the Torah. Okay. Fine. The question is as follows. Okay, comes along Shulchan Aruch. This is found and it's easy to remember. It's 3333. Shin Lam and Gimel. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tosfos. Hisla Poel in Lacha, v'chozi b'chatzi hayon. If the Poel begins to work for you and he retracts halfway through the day, I feel he can retract. And then he says this is a very contentious line. Afilo kibel kvar d'mei schirus v'inu b'yod l'shalem l'val bayis yoch l'achsibo v'amo is fo b'lof. This takes this yod v'al yona a step further. That not only if he's going to incur a loss, but let's just say the guy hires the guy at the beginning of the day and he advances him the money. Says, I'm going to hire you to come to me work all day. Here's $1,000. Comes 12 o'clock. Guy's like, I'm going to leave. Goes, okay, fine. So give me back the 500. And he says, sorry, I gambled it away during my lunch break. So you might think that, and he says, okay, fine. So work it off. Got to work the rest of the day. Comes along to Shulchan Aruch. He goes, no, you could say to him, okay, I owe you money. I'll come back tomorrow, but have a good day. Like, that's how far we take Yadav El Yonah, that even if he already took the money from him. And then the Ramah quotes the Mordechai, the guy's Mordechai, who says which happens to be, just for lack of time, I don't want to get into now, but this is where the post can start discussing, like, what's going on in terms of our contracts are longer, how can they be longer? They start making diyuks that only if your mom is living in the house. If you're not living in the house, we somehow call Shafano, so maybe it's different. The Chassam server's like, okay, fine. But the Rav is getting his whole salary paid from there. I think B'tzel Chochma, B'tzel Stern says, what if the Shul's paying for the house? So that maybe you can claim that you can't have a long contract. Okay, fine, that's beyond us. So what do I want to take from there? Okay, fine. So this is the Shulchan Aruch. Let me see if I can organize my thoughts for a second. Okay, that's Shulchan Aruch. So that's one, I think the first way then, therefore, to understand our discussion is that according to Tosfos, and according to the Shulchan Aruch, a poel is a poel. The issue of a poel, the issue of Av is being mishabed yourself in a way where you can't get out. Where you can't get out. And therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, and I would say, according to Tosfos, and the Ketzos says this, based off a Chuvas Maimoni, no, Chuvas Maimonik, excuse me, that therefore there's no issue with a poel essentially halfway through the day walking away and saying, I can't afford to pay. I can't afford the money. I lost the money you advanced to me. Okay, fine. So I will get you the money some other time. That's one way to understand the sugya. There's no comparison between a poel and an eved. The only issue is an eved doing things, excuse me, a poel doing things that start to change himself and turn him into an eved where he's actually stuck there for more than 3 years. So Rabbi Ries has a long essay on this in his Kanfei Yonah Chelek Taz. It's also, I found it on Yahu Torah subsequent to this, where he says that there's another way to look at this whole sugya. Rather than looking at, like, okay, there's a concept of poel, there's a concept of an eved, and they intersect at some point, and the question is how to avoid that intersection, maybe one can say that a poel effectively is an eved. That a poel is an eved, and that the issue there, and we have to find out, therefore, what is the issue exactly of Kili of Adim, if a poel is an eved, it just he has maybe some more rights or some fewer rights. This is the question he asks. Any questions before I begin, or thoughts, comments? Is that clear? I know just, okay, fine. I'm trying to figure where we should go. I want to get you guys. Where should we cut for time? The Ketzos basically says, based off this Mordechai, that the, and he also again he quotes also from Matuiz Maimini, that the Poel seemingly is an Eved. He is an Eved. So the question then becomes: so what is the difference between an Eved and a Poel? What's the difference between an Eved and a Poel? So. So it goes as follows. Put it this way. One might think that the way in which an Eved becomes free is either a Shtar Shifor or what's called Geroan Kesef, where he can pay off his debt. He pays off his debt. So maybe what one can say is the Poel doesn't need to do Geroan Kesef. Rather, he can walk away and say, I owe you money. However, the Ketzos seems wants to argue, and this is where, as I mentioned, it was contentious in the Shulchan Aruch, that unlike the Maharik, unlike Shitas Tosfos, that according to the Mordechai, in that side, you think the Paul is mamish an eved or has a din of an eved, there's the only way Paul can walk away is Giron Kesef. Mean to say that if the owner advances, if the Baal HaBayis advances the money and he no longer has the and the Paul loses the money, he can't walk away unless he pays up the debt. He can't walk away. Why? Because the way he walks away is through Giron Kesef, through paying off the debt. He now owes $500. Again, the case we had was $1,000. He gave him $1,000. He only worked $500. He must pay it off, which seemimgly is analogous to the case of the Kanani. He stole whatever it is, $1,000, and it takes 6 years to pay up $1,000. So 3 years through, he wants to walk away. The only way he can walk away, therefore, is through Giron Kesef of paying up the $3,000. So if this is true, the question then becomes, so what is, according to the Mordechai, what is going to be the difference between a Poel and an Eved Ivri? If both of them are if both of them essentially the only way they can become free is to grow in Kesef. What's going to be the difference? Yes, good questions, comments. Is that clear? Okay, fine. Right again, because Tosfos is clear. You just walk away. The Rosh Hashanah could just walk away. So this is where it gets fun. So there's a couple answers. One is Rabbi Ries quoted a Gra. He wanted to argue that a Poel can write a shtar of an IOU to say that I owe you money and he can walk away, whereas an Eved, because it's Gufo Kona, so he can't do that. He has to actually give the money. That's one answer. But I found some more exciting answers. Sorry, Rabbi Ries. I love Rabbi Ries. But I found some more exciting answers. Okay. There's a sefer called the Minchas Eliyahu. I have no idea who it is, but Rabbi Feldman sent, I was talking to him about sugi. He sent me a picture of this essay in it, in Parshas Bahar. He says, again, his question is, what's the difference between the Eved Ivri and the Poel? And clearly, there's going to be a difference because it's only by year three where the Poel metamorphosizes into taking on his Eved properties. Why 3 years, by the way? So if you look at the Pasuk says, Ki Mishnah Shar Soch here, and it's double that's going to be that of an Eved Ivri. So he says as follows. Step one is that Tosfos and Kedushin points out that one of the differences between a Poel and an Eved Ivri is that if an Eved Ivri gets sick and he can't work for 3 years, he still goes free at year six. Whereas a Poel, if he gets sick, he still has to make up the lost work. Says Tosis, why? Because Gufo Kona. The Eved Ivri has Gufo Kona, his Gufo's Kona. What does this mean? So this actually comes to a different Gemara. The Gemara is a little later in Kedushin. The Gemara is trying to figure out how exactly an Eved Ivri goes free. So it's going through different permutations. Among them is it's a Shtar Shechor. And then the Gemara says, Elo Shtar Shechor, Shtar Lamali. Why do you need a Shtar Shechor? I have a perfect idea. I have a way in which an Eved can go free. Not the owner can look at him and say, Machalach, Machalach. And he can go free by the owner saying, I'm Mochel B'chov. So the Gemara said, Amar Rava, no, that doesn't work. Zosemera is Eved Ivri Gufa Kona. The Eved Ivri, his Guf is Kona. And since his Guf is Kona, Hamash Malan, that a Harav, Shemochel Al Girono, Ain Girono Mochel, that you're not able to be Mochel on a Guf that's Kona. You can only be Mochel on a monetary payment, on a monetary obligation, excuse me, but not on a Guf Kona. So the Gemara is telling us that the reason why you can't just say you're Eved Ivri, you're Kona, you're Hefger, I'm Mafger, you, like, whatever, say to your wife, by the way, that's an interesting discussion as well. I think there's a issue on that. But why can't you be Mafger the Evan and say, I'm done with you, whatever money you owed me, have a good day, because you're Gufo Kona. This is the Gemara. That's the way everyone understands it. Comes along the Ritva, and he's like, Mehecha Tesi. Or as a Blachman would say, you can fill in the blank. Mehecha Tesi. He says, where do we find a concept of a Gufo Kona by an Evan Ivri? He says, we don't say Yad Balabayas, Kiyad Eved Ivri. Maybe if we, by Matsiyah. He goes, we say it would only be because he's like a Paul. He said, we don't say by Erevin. We don't say by Pinyan Maisa. So what do we mean by Gufal Kona? He's totally perplexed. He says, yeah, we say Gufal Kona by Neve Kanani. Because Neve Kanani is a totally different Bria. We do say Yadu Kiyad Bal. We do say these things. He says, more than that. He says, when it comes to an Eved Ivri, excuse me, Neve Kanani, how do we transform the Eved Kanani, who's Gufo Kono? How do we then say you're no longer Gufo Kono? We give him a Shtar Shechor, which now not just transforms him into a full-fledged Jew, but also takes him from being in the status of an is of having an usher to Bas Yisrael, and the Shtar now the Shtar Shechor makes him and no longer Gufo Kono, so that he can now marry Bas Yisrael. Similarly, he points a get, by the way, get Isha. She Gufo Kono, you give her a get. Now she's usher to you. She's mutter to all the other people. Gufo Kono. He says, therefore, what does it mean? It must mean that we say that Eved is Gufo Kona. It's not that we're Gufo Kona B'domim, that what he has, the money he has, what he owes us Gufo Kona, but rather we're Kona him in a way that he now is mutter to certain Isurim that beforehand he wasn't. I.e., when he's a full-fledged Jew, regular, free Jew, he can't marry a Shifa. Gufo Kona, we're only talking about in this realm of Isser, that you're Kona him, so now the Isser, he's now because of in the realm of Isser, he can marry a Shifa. And therefore, the only reason you give him a Shtar Shechor is because that frees him, or now it makes him, he can no longer be involved in what now is going to be Aser, i.e. marrying a Shifa. So what the Ritva understands is that technically, saying Mochaloch or Mafir, you could be Mafir him, but only from the monetary obligation he owes you, but there's still a Gufo Konoloch. This is the Ritva. So this is all good and well. This is all good and well, except there is a problem, as always. The Gemara Baba Kama, Kuf Yud Gimel, Amud Beis is trying to determine the parameters of Gezel Hagoy. When are you allowed to steal from a guy? When you cannot steal from a guy. First, Gemara tells us that I have a proof you can't steal from a guy, because the Pasuk tells us that if a Jew gets sold to a guy and he runs away, Acher Nimkar Gula Tiyelo. After he's sold, you have to redeem him. Why can't you just run away? Why did they actually redeem him? So clearly, you can't steal from a guy. And the Gemara goes on to talk about how you can't even play tricks on them. But then the Gemara says there are certain deceptions, not outright robbery, but certain deceptions, if there's no Chil Hashem, so that would be allowed. What are we talking about? Hafkaz Halva, that you can abrogate a loan. You can kind of cancel or annul a loan using that sort of a default or deception on the loan. This is what the Gemara tells us, and that's mutter by a God. So Zok Devaye, if Hafkaz Halva is mutter, then why do we have to return an Eved Ivri? After all, he says, what is servitude? It's Geroyon Kesef, as in you owe a debt and you're paying off your debt. It's kind of like a halva. I owe you money. I can't pay it back, so I'm going to now work $1,000 worth of work. That's what it is. So if he runs away, that's a clever way of basically being Hafkaz halva. Why can't he do so? So what does Rava say? Lushita so? Because he's Kona. It's Mamash Neva, because there's an actual Kenyan of a Kenyan Guf on the Evet, and that's why he can't do so. An actual Kenyan, that's why he can't run away. So yes, Abaye, yes, your svar would be right. Technically, it would be Hafkaz Halva, but it's not how the Eved's own. It's not. We don't look at an Eved and say there's a loan. We look and say there's a Kenyan goof on this Eved. So running away would be outright robbery, and that we just determine that's Gezel Hager. So ask the Olam, but according to the Ritva, Kenyan Haguf of the Eved is only Medina Isser. that he can marry a shivcha. When he's owned by the guy, we don't apply those dinim of, we don't apply those dinim of kinyan iser. The only ownership the guy owns on this eved is for the monetary obligation that he owes to him, i.e., the hava, which means if the Jew runs away, there's no kinyan iser involved, so it's only hafgaz hava, and therefore it should be mutter according to the ritva. Yes, no? So what do we answer? Who do we turn to? Rav Chaim. We say that Rambam had a maser from Rav Chaim had to learn. That's from Moshe Averick, by the way. We have to quote him in every shir, right? Okay. Says Rav Chaim as follows. Don't get me involved if there's a kinyan haguf, if there's an iser, if there's mammon. The fact that he's an eved and identifies as an eved gives him a halay shem eved, and therefore, even if he runs away, he's stealing. He's an eved. He sold himself as an eved. So don't get technically behind it. Is there a kinyan guv? Is there a kinyan mammon? No, there's a halay eved here, and he sold himself as an eved. So therefore, when he runs away, he's stealing the eved from the guy, and that's why it's not permitted. That's why it's not permitted. Which means to say, perhaps, and this is what the sefer Minchas Eliyahu want to say, that to bring it back to where we were, what the Mordechai is telling us is that the distinction between a poel and an eved, yes, at the end of the day, the poel can only retract, just like the eved, the growing kesef, when they pay back what they owe. But there's a fundamental distinction in the chalois that an eved is an eved, whereas a poel is not an eved, it's not a chalos eved, and therefore that's why it's not a problem because he's not an eved, he's a poel. Just there's a fundamental difference between an eved and a poel. So that's the razzle dazzle chiddush of Rav Chaim on the sugya. What do we think of that? Crickets. Okay, fine. Daka keeps giving me thumbs up.
I'm pretending to listen. No, I'm joking.
Okay, fine.
Go ahead.
Here's another answer. This came from Rabbi Feldman, Rabbi Neil Feldman. He put this together based off an Eretz HaTzvi, Rav Shechter Shlita. Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi, has the following chiddush. The Gemara tells us in Baba Kama Dav Ayin Amud Beis that esnan aser Torah feel baal imo itavoy like kaman bedina miyamrin like kum havli esnan. That obviously esnan zayin is aser, but if there are tovei in court, so it seemingly there's a chiyuv to pay b'dei shemayim, even though we say usually say kum lebe derab minei. This is the Gemara. The Meiri says, you know why you still have, Meiri says this is not a chiyuv to pay b'dei shemayim like most Rishonim understand. But it's a chiyuv to pay. We waive, or there's no kum lebe derabimine in the case of Esnan. He goes, I'll tell you why. He says, now I don't have the lashon meir in front of me, I'm sorry, but he says as follows, that kum lebe derabimine is only alternated from a shechter. Kum lebe derabimine, we only apply that when there's a chiyu shehutlo ha-Torah al-Adam. When the Torah says you have a monetary obligation to pay someone, and at the same time you also have to pay for your life, whatever it may be, kum lebe derabimine. However, he says that when there's a chiyav mammon to ischayiv midas, when there's a chiyav mammon that comes because you were mechayiv yourself, not because the Torah says you have to pay, but you were mechayiv yourself, we don't say kum lebedaramine, and therefore, in this case of the esnan, you were mechayiv yourself to pay, or for the payer the what? Payer with this esnan, so therefore, we wouldn't say kum lebedaramine. As to Shechter, so how then do we explain the other Rishonim? So either he said you can say, which is probably the more pashup shot, that they reject this Meiri and think that you always say kum lebe derabimine, whether it's a chayv as a Torah or hutla Torah al adam or it's bidini chayv midas. Or he says maybe they understand as follows that the chiyav mammon hutla Torah on the baal habayis here again the esnan is considered a poel. It's looked at as a poel. Meiri says that explicitly. I left that out. So maybe you could say the payment the poel pays that is a din midine shemayim. That's a din you pay. It's a din shehutla Torah alof. The baal habayis has to pay the wages of the worker. So much so, advances Rav Shechter, so much so that even if the Baal Bais doesn't want to pay, you still have to go ahead. He still has to go ahead and pay. Because the Torah says, if someone does you, someone's a poel for you, even if you didn't agree to it necessarily, you have to pay. The Hutnul HaTorah, Torah puts on the Baal Bais, the Shalem Shiva Paul the Paul. He brings a bunch of riots. I just want to go through one of them. Raya number one, he says, is the Gemara Ksubas on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis talks about a case. There is a man who runs off, who goes off to Medinas Hayam, and his wife's sitting at home and she's hungry. So some other guy in the community steps up and starts paying her mazonis. The Mishnah wants to know, can he go and get money back from the husband for his payment? Chacham says yes, and Hanan says, Taniach Ma'osav Al-Karen Tzvi. He just put his money on the horns of the deer, and he's never going to get it back. The root of this, obviously, is the question of if I go ahead and pay off Yaakov Levi's loan, can I then go and ask Yaakov for the money that I paid off for his loan? Whereas some say yes, and the Hanan says no, you can't do so. Okay. Tosfos,
I wouldn't
by the
bother.
Way, what do you say?
I wouldn't bother.
You wouldn't bother. Tosfos implies, I didn't have time to look this part up. I just saw this about an hour before we came on, that the reason for this is it didn't schir us polo. Says Rav Shechta as follows. However, even though Hanan and the Chacham disagree in this particular case, the basic Hanacha they agree on, and that is that generally they would assume that the Baal HaBayis or the person would have to pay in the event someone goes and advances money on their behalf. Now, I don't know why. Again, I'm not sure why there's a difference between this case and a Halva, but here's the case he brings. First, the case of Yore. If I go into your field and I fix it up, so then you have to pay me for it. You didn't ask me to come. So now, I became your pole. I didn't work for you, and therefore, you have to pay me for it. Because your Shechter says that's the din of Tzuk L'Torah, love the Baal HaBayis, L'Shalom Shiva Poel, that the Torah requires you pay the Poel. Number two is the case Awesome Bab Metzia. Good thing I stayed Shana Gimel there. Case Awesome Bab Metzia is if I say to a Shliach, go hire a Poel for three shekel, I don't remember the exact case there. What do you say?
You should have said the fourth year.
I did. And the shliach goes and said and hires someone a das baal bayis for 4 years. Again, he ups it a dollar. This is the minhag. A dollar, a shekel, a quid, wherever you are in the country right now in the world. So it works. Why does it work? So ultimately, because this is the minhag medina. This is what's happening. And Rav Shechta wants to say, now the poll worked for you. And you owe him this. This is what you owe him. Again, I'm not sure what the difference is between paying off a debt and the actual work being done. But the point Rosh Hashanah is saying is even against Das Baal HaBayis, if Paul works for you, put in the Torah, Allah the Baal HaBayis, L'Shalom Shiva the Paul. So why is this? So perhaps the reason for this, the reason why there's a distinction, the reason why there's even a distinction in Tashlumim of a Poel is so fundamentally different than every other Tashlum is stemming from this pasuk of the Libanei Yisrael, Avadim la Avadim la Avadim. That the Torah is telling us, and again, this is I'm still not totally working this, I'm still working this as I'm talking to you. The Torah is telling us that the difference between an Eved and a Poel is an Eved pays off a debt. A Poel gets a check. A Poel gets a check, and this check is stemming from the Pasuk tells us he gets a check, and that's part of it when it's so fundamental that he gets paid, and even if it's against the Das Baal HaBayis, because the Pasuk of Keli Eved is telling us you have to pay him. You have to pay him a check and to pay him what you owe him. Meaning, again, I'm still working this through. Both go free with Giro and Kesef, as the Mordechai told us, right? Both go free with Giro and Kesef. But the difference between the Poel, who goes free by Giro and Kesef, and the Eved, is that the Giro and Kesef of the Eved is one of paying off a debt. The Giron Kesef of Poel is one of the wages the Torah say go you deserve because Kili Eved, because that's who you are. And so much so the Nafkamina is, even if the Baal HaBayis says, I don't want to pay him because I didn't hire him. Well, if he did the work for you, then you have to pay him. So this is the other answer, perhaps, to answer up this the difference between the Mordechai and what the difference is between the Poel and the Eved. Good. Should we go on for like 7 more minutes or you want to call it quits here? Call it quits here?
Yeah, I go now.
I'm waiting for the chassid.
What do you say? You're going to hear the chassidus.
I'm waiting.
Okay, so we're not going to get to therefore the question. They opened up about strikes. That could be for some other time, part two, some other time. Some awesome stuff. So I guess I'll end up.
Another 10 years.
What do you say?
In another 10 years?
No, we'll do this monthly. Who's just going next, right?
You'll be 14 then.
All right, so I'll end up with a beautiful part I heard from Rav Asher Weiss. Rashi Weiss said that we say in Shabbos Davening, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko ki evan nema. Moshe's, we say Moshe Rabbeinu is Yismach, he's happy in his chelik. What's his chelik ki evan nema? Because ultimately, and this gets in a way to the root of what we're talking about, the biggest praise and the biggest thing, the biggest praise you can be, and the most complimentary thing you could be as a Jew is Neva Nema, Neva Hashem. That's what we're all striving to be. So yeah, we're not a servant to someone else. We're Neva Nema, and we're Eva to Hashem, and that's what we're all striving to be. And there's your Chassidus, because Rav Asher Weiss is Chassidish. Shkoyach. Any questions, comments?